Our scripture reading this morning, again, is just a short verse. It's out of Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and myrrh. All right. It's amazing because this verse has taken 3 weeks to get through. We started off with the fact that they had a long journey and they had to prepare for that journey. I challenged you to think about and be more deliberate in the journey that you take with the Lord. All right? Just to recap there. We talked about the star. How the Chinese had seen a star in 5 BC that was a comet, and they charted it, and that it had gone and traveled straight across the Middle East. We talked about others, people's idea that it could have been the Shekinah glory that led the people of Israel. I wasn't there. The point is, God announced the birth of His Son, the Messiah. He did it in the skies. We were told in Genesis that He put the stars for the purpose of signs. We talked about the fact that over and over in the Bible we find that there will be signs. All right, today we're going to wind up this whole journey. The wise men got to the house. They've made their journey. They now have arrived. And what did they do when they got there? They fell down and worshiped. These guys were powerful men in their own right, used to people bowing to them. They would have been held in high esteem. They weren't the poor. But what did they recognize? They had come to see the King of Kings, and that He was worthy of their worship. And they bowed down and worshiped. Now, guys, I know you've heard sermon after sermon about worship, because there's so many aspects to worship. There's the worship that says this is your acceptable worship when you take care of the widows and the orphans, when you do these things, when you live a life that is pleasing to God. All of these are a part of our worship. But the worship that we see these wise men doing was to bow down and honor God. Well, yes, actually, in essence, when we live our life every day, we can be bowing down and honoring God by what we do and what we say. But I also want us to think for a moment what they brought, because I know how many of you have heard a sermon about the three gifts and the symbolism behind them. Okay, I'm sure most of you have, because that tends to be one of the things that's taught. Well, and I think that's a wonderful sermon, and real quickly, that is simply that the gold was because He was worthy, a gift worthy of a king or a deity, and so that's one of the reasons that the gold was brought. The incense was because it was considered a beautiful fragrance, and Jesus is a beautiful fragrance. And then the myrrh signified the death and sacrifice. It was a burial spice. So yes, those are wonderful things, but that's not what I want us to deal on, because we're at the birth of Jesus. We're at the beginning of the story. We're not at the death. And I have nothing in Scripture that tells me that this myrrh that was given to Him now was used 30 years later when He died. But what I do know is that very night after they have fallen down and worshiped and presented the gifts, Then Joseph is warned in a dream that you need to depart. And they made haste and they departed. Now, I want you to think again when we were talking about the journey the wise men made, the Magi, what did they have to do? They had to prepare. They had to gather supplies. They had to figure out the route. They had to find caravans if they were going to travel with them, or they had to take mercenaries with them. I can't quite envision Joseph and Mary trying to sneak off, hiring mercenaries in the middle of the night. But they would have needed supplies. And so, God had prepared already in advance. They had gold. They had all of these expensive things. And once they got to their destination, they would have had to reset up. Think about a carpenter for a moment. What does he use? Tools. Can you imagine Joseph having just made a trip to Bethlehem from Nazareth, having brought all his tools? Okay, well, they've been there a while. He's probably accumulated a few tools because that's how he made his living. Do you think that he packed them all up and took them all with him? No, he'd have had to have done this very quickly. So he would have had to have left those tools. He would have had to have started over. Those Magi brought the things and made it possible. God knew that they were going to need a way of escape. This is the thing that is so beautiful about our God, is He sees all the way down the road and He sets things in place sometimes before we're born for things to happen. I was talking about coincidences with my wife this week that we quote term coincidences. And I said, but God knew. He knew the need. He set it up. And boom, it all falls into place. All of us sit there and we just think, well, that was neat. We need to say, whoa, God, you're awesome. I can't even remember now, babe. Do you remember there were two different things that we talked about just this week about how we saw that the hand of God had already set up all the circumstances, and when that need arose, it was there. But it was something else that had brought us back to that. But if you remember the story of Christopher's birth, we had lived in New York State, in the southern part of New York State, far away from New York City, where there would have been a neonatal center back 30-some years ago. But we didn't live close to that. Right before that, I ended up leaving that church. I moved to Tennessee, to Memphis, Tennessee. I started arranging flowers and potting plants. I can tell you how to do this. All right? My son's born early, 6 weeks early. We needed a neonatal center. God knew that. If I'd still been in New York State, there was not one that close to me. But since he was born in Memphis, Tennessee, in the very hospital that he was born on another two floors away, was a neonatal center. God knew that and set up those circumstances. Was that time easy in my life? No. Was it easy for Joseph to pick up Mary and his newborn baby and go to Egypt? No. But God knew and set it up. Isn't that amazing? All right. Romans 12:1. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. All right. Holy, acceptable. And then it goes on to say, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then that same chapter, chapter 12, starts going on into the spiritual gifts. Okay. I want you to see this progression now. When we present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, there's going to be a progression. You start changing. You're not going to be the same. You start out walking, or you start out crawling. Maybe you start out on your bellies, flat on your bellies. You learn to turn over. Hallelujah. We have seen Cora turn over. Her mommy and daddy haven't. Anyway, you start out, you turn over, you start learning to get your hands and your knees under you. You start growing. Well, this is what happens to us as we become these living sacrifices. We start changing. And we grow in Christ. Why? By the renewing of our mind. How does that happen? Because you start to put your mind on the things above instead of the things on earth. What is important on earth? Wealth, power, position. How good you look. You know, some of us got it. Some of us... But those are not the things that are important in heaven. And he starts transforming our minds and saying, no, what's more important is your daily walk. Then he says, and I can now take that. Once you realize this, I can take this and transform you into something special. And he says, and I will give you gifts. Now, I want you to think for a moment. Our Heavenly Father was involved in each and every one of your conception. You were not a mistake. He says, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. He puts you in the family you're in. There's a purpose. He gave you abilities and you're not like anyone else. And he says, and you'll never be like someone else. You're always going to have that uniqueness because I've given it to you. And as you are molded into my image, you will still have a uniqueness, but you will conform more and more to me. But I have given each of you different gifts. Not everyone can sing like a songbird. Some of us croak like a frog. And that's all right. God said, make a joyful noise. He didn't say that it has to be operatic. Thank goodness, or we're in trouble. He said, make a joyful noise. He said, worship me. He said, praise me. He said, so these are the things that as we put our mind on things above, as we allow his word to dwell richly within us, we begin to change. And then we can accept the Holy Spirit's working. And we can accept those spiritual gifts. And this was just one part of spiritual gifts. And this sermon isn't on spiritual gifts. But I want us just to spend a moment because that is part of the progression. In Scripture, we see that he gives words of knowledge. He gives tongues. He gives healing. He gives wisdom. He gives discernment. He gives prophecy. He gives teachers. He gives apostleship. He gives teachers. And we begin to see how all of that. Now, what I want to say to you is if you've never been a teacher in your life, and all of a sudden God starts calling you to become a teacher, if he wants that to happen in your life, you're going to be able to do it. If you're hearing him, you will be able to do it. It doesn't mean that you've had to be a teacher and go to school. How many schools did Jesus graduate from? Holy Spirit school, right? All right, amen. The Holy Spirit will teach you. He will equip you. And so if you find yourself in a new situation and you see that this is a spiritual gift that you need for that situation, what's going to happen? Poof! You're going to have that gift because he's called you. So just because you've never ever healed someone before in the name of Jesus doesn't mean that's not going to happen. Because if he places you in that situation, convicts you that you're supposed to do it, then you better do it. Yes, Marjorie.
He was sent to school, though.
Yes, but he didn't go to theological school at all. Right. He had his basic training. Well, he had his religious training that, like we offer in church school. So he had that childhood basics. But again, think about how when he's at the temple, they were amazed. How could this guy, this child, or this quote, be able to know all this? That's the Holy Spirit.
Pastor Robert, did he get his teaching from his father?
Well, who else? Okay. And that, who do we get the teaching from? Our Heavenly Father. That's where the teaching comes from. That's the whole Holy Spirit experience. So I'm simply saying this morning, we need to recognize that we are not going to stay the same. You're going to change. You're going to grow. And hallelujah for that. Because that's what God wants. So, verse 9. Okay, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. It says that you are going to be built as lively stones. Now, can you imagine that? I want you to picture for a moment stones growing hands and feet and getting up and growing heads or whatever they need to grow and moving around and doing something. Can you imagine that picture? But this is what he's saying. You're going to be lively stones. Go back to Ezekiel for a moment. What did they do? They prophesied over a valley of dry bones. And in this vision, he saw the bones grow the sinew. He saw the muscle come. He saw the connections come. He saw the flesh come. Well, if God can do that, then it certainly is nothing to think that you and I can receive a gift of prophecy. It's nothing to think that you and I can be told that you're supposed to go and lay hands on and in the name of Jesus heal someone. These are nothing when you think about stones becoming moving, living beings. And he says, I'm going to make you a spiritual house because you have been chosen of God. Guys, you ever think about that? You wouldn't be here today if God didn't love you. If he hadn't chosen you to be his children. That's such a wonderful, wonderful thing. And he says, he goes on to say, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Now, we'd like to leave that one out, right? But you know what? That's something we need to realize. We are going to be different. Hallelujah, we're going to be different. More and more different. When we go into the workplace and we see someone who is hateful, what is our natural inclination? Peculiar people do differently. Instead of smacking them around, we bless them. We bless them. And it's only through the Holy Spirit's power, because in and of myself, I'm going to smack them. But the Holy Spirit says, no, you are my people. You are my chosen, holy generation, a royal priesthood. You are going to bless and curse not. And you're going to be a shining light. Guys, sometimes we think our batteries are dim, they're low. That's when we need to stop and do what Jesus did. Jesus got up early in the morning and he went out by himself. He took time to be alone with the Father. I want you to think about this now. Jesus is walking down the street and this woman is thinking, if I can just touch his clothes, I'm going to be healed. And she gets close enough and just touches him. And he stops and says, I felt power go out of me. His disciples look at him and says, do you see all these people? And yet you expect us to figure out which one of these people took your power? In essence, that's what they're saying. Now, do you suppose that this woman looked different? I bet you couldn't tell she was the one. There was no mark on her, except when she realized she was healed. I'll bet you there was. When she realized the touch of the Master's hand had changed her. I'll bet you her countenance changed, and I'll bet you that face grew into such a great smile, and probably her whole posture changed. Because if you've been sick, do you hold yourself erect? You kind of slump around and try and get there the best you can. But you've been touched by the Master, and I'll bet you all of a sudden you've got strength you never had before. Guys, that's what he wants to do. Daily. Daily. And sometimes we just try too often to do it on our own. Let's give up something that's failed over and over and over and start sticking with something that is going to change us step by step by step until the glory of God actually starts oozing. I want you to look at your hands for a moment and think they're going to ooze. Maybe that's not the picture you want. But think about the change and what God wants to do. Guys, we're just barely into a new year. And I know that we talk about making resolutions. I don't want you to make a resolution. I want you to make a new life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.